The United Nations General Assembly on Thursday called on all states and organizations not to recognize Crimea as part of Russia. They're calling for a peaceful resolution of the crisis between Russia and Ukraine over Crimea. Meanwhile, at a speech he gave in Brussels in a further attempt to isolate Russia, President Obama implied that what the U.S. did to Iraq was not as bad as Crimea joining Russia.
We did not claim or annex Iraq's territory. We did not grab its resources for our own gain. Instead, we ended our war and left Iraq to its people in a fully sovereign Iraqi state that can make decisions about its own future.
This incensed many, complaining that Obama has become an apologist for the Iraq war. Brian Becker with the Answer Coalition told RT that justifying the U.S.'s criminal and bloody invasion of Iraq and presenting Crimea's popular referendum as a blatant act of aggression by Russia is an outlandish example of President Obama's demagogy.
1 million Iraqis died, according to the United Nations. 5 million were made into refugees. A country was ripped apart. 5,000 Americans died. Tens of thousands had life-changing injuries. Can you compare that, what happened in Iraq, to what happened in Crimea in the last 2 weeks?
Violence continues to plague the country. The United Nations envoy to Iraq says about 400,000 people have been displaced this year by ongoing violence in western Iraq. A United Nations panel in Geneva found serious shortcomings in the United States' civil rights record. Experts cited a lack of adequate oversight and transparency in national security programs, dealing with everything from electronic surveillance to targeted drone killings and secret detentions. The report by the UN Human Rights Committee, a panel of 18 independent experts from different countries, made clear they generally view the U.S. as a promoter of human rights, but they had major concerns while examining compliance with the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Some of the areas dealt with by the panel include the prolonged solitary confinement of prisoners, sentencing of life without parole for juvenile offenders, racial disparities in the use of the death penalty, and laws hindering felons from voting. Other areas include racial profiling, gun violence, excessive use of force by law enforcement officials, and domestic violence. President Barack Obama addressed some of the UN committee's concerns when he asked Congress on Thursday to end the government's bulk collection of Americans' phone records. Obama's plan is for the government to get a court order and ask phone companies to search their records for specific numbers believed to be associated with terrorists. The president met with Pope Francis at the Vatican on Thursday. The two focused publicly on their mutual respect and shared concern for the poor. Obama said they touched on immigration reform.
As someone who came from Latin America, I think he was very mindful of the plight of so many immigrants who are wonderful people working hard, making contributions. Many of their children are U.S. citizens, and yet they still live in the shadows. In many cases, have been deported and are separated from families. I described to him how I felt that there was still an opportunity for us to make this right and get a law passed.
The president said they also spoke about Middle East peace, conflicts in Syria, and the treatment of Christians around the world. He said he told the Pope he'd love to have him in the U.S., that people would love to see him. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica radio broadcasting at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. The Air Force took the extraordinary step Thursday of firing 9 mid-level nuclear commanders and announcing it will discipline dozens of junior officers at a nuclear missile base, responding firmly to an exam cheating scandal that spanned a far longer period than originally reported. A 10th commander, the senior officer at the base, resigned and will retire from the Air Force. President Barack Obama says more than 6 million Americans have signed up for coverage through the new health insurance markets created by his overhaul. That's a milestone, fulfilling a goal set by the Congressional Budget Office and embraced by the White House. The president made the announcement during an international call with enrollment counselors and volunteers while traveling in Italy. Monday's the deadline to enroll in the new insurance exchanges, although many people will still be able to take advantage of extensions announced this week. 6 million signups is an achievement, considering the healthcare.gov website didn't work when it was launched last October. It's still short of the original target of 7 million, and there's no word on how many consumers have sealed the deal by paying their premiums. Florida's Governor Rick Scott's administration is abandoning its renewed effort to remove non-U.S. citizens from the voter rolls. Secretary of State Ken Dentsner, in a memo to county election supervisors, said the latest attempt at a purge, which 2 years ago set off a number of legal challenges from voting rights groups, would be postponed until next year. He said the state planned to wait until a new federal database, which helps track potential ineligible voters, is up and running. The decision comes after Scott, a Republican, faced heavy criticism over Florida's attempts to identify people who are not American citizens on voter lists months ahead of the 2012 presidential elections. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says he never considered resigning because aides shut down traffic leading to the George Washington Bridge. He told ABC News, "I'm not a quitter." He says he won't decide for another year whether to run for president in 2016, but says the scandal overshadowing his administration won't influence his decision and will make him a better leader. Mayor Bill de Blasio addressed a gathering of foreign press, just as Mayor Bloomberg did when he first came into office. One of the questions the Foreign Press Corps had was they wanted de Blasio to explain why universal pre-K is about economic empowerment.
Because right now, I think this is true for everyone, but I would say it's additionally true for young children of immigrants. Everyone in this society increasingly is experiencing this new phenomenon. Your economic destiny is determined by education much more deeply than previously. Here in this country, even 30 years ago, 40 years ago, there were real opportunities to be in the middle class even without a high school education. It was common. It had been common for generations before. Only in the last few decades has that ceased to be true. To have a stable economic future requires a strong education. It certainly requires a quality high school education. It increasingly requires a college education. That is a massive societal change. We are the first generation to fully feel the effect, and we have to change everything we do to align to that reality.
The mayor told the Foreign Press Corps that he needs their voices to help send the urgent message to Albany for New York City to achieve full-day pre-K and after school for every middle school child. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.